Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
So have you ever thought to yourself, look at all these people in the world that are brain dead, and they're just laying there in their beds. What are we going to do with them? You ever thought about that? I can say, I don't think I have ever thought about, man, we should figure out something to do with those brain dead people. Don't worry about trying to bring them back to life. Just figure out something to do with them. Well, a professor in Oslo, a professor of practical philosophy, has penned a report in the Journal of Theoretical Medicine and Bioethics, and man, do I look forward to my new Journal of Theoretical Medicine and Bioethics whenever it comes out. She has penned this whole body gestational donation plan. So she thinks that, hey, if you can't have children or you just don't want to get pregnant, you know what you can do is we can impregnate the brain dead people. They can go ahead and just take care of the body, take care of the baby. How great would that be? We could even use men if we had to, but in specifically we would use women, but we could use men if we had to, and we would just let them carry the baby to term. And it's okay because, hey, what happens if their body dies or whatever? So what? They're already dead. The one good thing about it is that she didn't say that she would just do it without their permission. She's talking about proposing a organ donation framework for a gestational donor. So it would be just like you say, hey, I'll give my heart away, or I'll give my liver away, or I'll give my lungs away. You could also say, hey, if I become brain dead, go ahead, make me pregnant if you want to. I'll go ahead and help you birth a child, even though I'm laying here brain dead. So that's coming. That's coming faster than you can imagine. And I was just, as I'm reading this story, I'm thinking, what could go wrong? What could possibly go wrong? Nah, nothing. Nothing at all. Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. Those of you living in the Northeast are probably starting to get a whiff of some New York BO, because as of the beginning of 2023, this year, a little over a month ago, it's illegal to sell certain popular laundry detergent brands in the state of New York. Because in the law, the New York State Department of Conservation created a legal limit on how much of a potential carcinogen called 1,4-dioxin can be present in detergent. Now, many of the detergents have over 3 ppms, parts per million, in their brands. So you can only have 1 or below 1 ppm now under the new law. And Arm & Hammer, the Clean Burst, Tide Original, Arm & Hammer, Sensitive Skin Free and Clear, Gain Original, plus Aroma Boost, by the way, all have more than 3 ppms of 1,4-dioxin, putting them all over the legal limit. So we're going to be smelling some people in New York real soon. Now, those of you that purchased a bunch prior to the end of the year, you know, you still have the old, and maybe you're smuggling it again. Maybe that's a million-dollar idea. We can smuggle in the old, we can smuggle in the soap into New York from New Jersey and Pennsylvania and make sure, hey, yeah, I've got some laundry detergent here that's got 3 parts per million of 1,4-dioxin in the cleaning product, so you'll be able to get things clean. Of course, we're not supposed to have, you know, it's a potential link to cancer with the 1,4-dioxin. I got it. It's all bad for us. So we want to make sure that everything is safe. And I don't know the actual study. Let's see if they have the actual study in this story. They have the studies of the laundry detergents and how much of the human carcinogen, 1,4-dioxin, has in the particular products, but it doesn't say how much of the 1,4-dioxin it takes to cause cancer. So it's been detected in groundwater, drinking water supplies, near chemical plants and waste sites because of manufacturing, and some household cleaning products have the 1,4-dioxin. And so New York has led the charge in this. Yeah, the limit will reduce to the maximum of 1 ppm by the end of 2023. Yeah, so there, you know, you have this year to get it straight. But it doesn't say how much it takes to give you cancer. I bet it's a whole bunch. So anyway, just know, in the Northeast, when you start getting a whiff of BO in the air, it's New York. Excuse me, sir, it's not body odor. It's that my clothes stink. Oh, okay. All right. Hey, no problem. Good to go. Forget I even mentioned it. And then we have another story. Chemicals in the news. Chemicals in the news. In Ohio yesterday, there was a train crash. And five tanker cars of a derailed train were part of, they were carrying hazardous materials. They were toxic chemicals. So they had to evacuate this entire area. 5,000 residents were ordered to evacuate. And so the five cars transporting the industrial produced chemical vinyl chloride, that's got to be good for you. Now they use polyvinyl chloride, which makes PVC or hard plastic, you know, the resin and plastic products. I mean, we are, you know, everything is modern petrotechnology, man. We are making chemicals. Anyway, the chemical is associated with an increased risk of liver, brain, and lung cancers, among other diseases. So what did we do? Well, we blew a hole in the tanks. We let it leak out into a ditch, and then we burned it off. So if you are in the area of East Palestine, Ohio, you know what the smell of burning vinyl chloride is, because that's what they're burning. And I mean, this is one time you may actually want to wear a mask. All the guys making meth up there are fine. They've got their meth masks on, so don't even worry about it. I don't even know if they were evacuated. I don't know. You know, look, I'm just joking. There's no meth. There's no meth houses in East Palestine, Ohio. It's just a joke. I hope everyone is safe. They evacuated the residents, and apparently no injuries have been reported. So it's good that we blew up a little hole in the train car, and we released the chemical, and then we just burned it off. So don't worry about it. It's all good. All right, so I got an email at chewingthefat@theblaze.com, which you are welcome to email anytime. I do read all of the emails. I don't respond to them all, but I do see them, chewingthefat@theblaze.com. I got an email from David last night, and it brought back so many memories of living in apartments. So the story is from Miami-Dade Police, and he goes, I thought you would enjoy this story. And he was 100% correct. Tremendous story out of Miami. So apparently officers were sent to a Saga Bay apartment complex, which is right there, just around the corner, Southwest 210th Street. It's right there. You know where it is. And so they arrived, and they heard a fight between a man and a woman going on inside apartment 108. They knocked on the door several times and made loud verbal commands to open the door. Police, open the door. And the fight continued as the door remained closed. And at one point, the officers heard the woman, and I'm guessing this is true. I'll believe that what the police tell me. They heard the woman scream, kick it in. So that's what they did. They forced their way in. They saw the woman about 2 feet from the door, and the person she was fighting with, identified as 32-year-old Kevin Mayorga, running behind the door to close it. So one of the officers tased him, no effect. He was then removed from the apartment. Police say he actively resisted, and at one point he struck one of the officers in the face with his arm that already had one handcuff on it, causing an abrasion in the officer's face. You don't want to do that. I'm going to advise against that. So police said they finally, after he continued to resist, they got him to the ground. They placed him in leg restraints and handcuffs. And it was at that point the woman told the officers that the reason they were fighting was because he had bitten off the head of her pet ball python. And the police said, yep, the dead snake was right there next to the door with its head detached. So that was what the fight was about. You bit the head off my snake, you bastard. So he was taken into custody. Now he's charged with resisting an officer with violence, false imprisonment, and animal cruelty. I don't know where we get the false imprisonment from, unless he, you know, because he wouldn't open up the door and let the police in. So that means he was, you know, keeping the woman imprisoned into their apartment, I guess. Okay. All right. Whatever. And so, you know, there's the big fight because he bit the head off her pet ball python. Really funny. Not for the snake, not for the girl. But it brought back so many memories. I have lived in apartment complexes around this country, in a number of states around this country. And I've heard some tremendous fights in surrounding apartments. I've never been a part of any of those fights. Okay, just be clear about that. My favorite fight story, this was in, I was living in an apartment in Michigan. And this couple up above, we lived on the second floor, and this was a three-story building, and there was an apartment above us. There was actually two apartments above us, and we had the entire second floor up above the bagel shop. Anyway, the one couple in the apartment directly over where my room was, they fought for hours. And I mean, they threw things and broke things, and he was pissed because she cheated on him. And he was so angry, and they fought and fought, and she kept crying and saying she was sorry, but I'll never do it again. And finally, they storm out, and there was a stairwell that went down in between the two buildings and went past one of the, you know, went past my bedroom window where I was laying. Now, you couldn't get to it was up quite a ways, you know, where the stairwell was, but you can look out and see the people walking up and down the stairs. And so they hit the stairwell and they were still fighting, and she said something, and the guy yells out to her, "Yeah, right, he..." Now, I'm not going to give you the quote, because maybe if you see me in person off the air, I'll tell you the actual quote, okay? But here on Chewing the Fat, where there are word police, which I hate, you know, here at the Blaze Studios, I'm going to be nice. You know, I'm going to be nice. And I know many of you listen with your children, so don't worry. Some days I go off a little bit far on the deep end, I know. But today I won't go down that road. I'll be nice. But he yelled at her, "Yeah, right. You let him business you in the behind." And he didn't even say thank you. And you loved it. One of the best fight lines ever. That's actually a pretty good way to say it. You let him business you from behind, and he didn't even say thank you, and you loved it. All right. You think about that for a little bit. It was one of the best fights in apartment living I can remember. Let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink after that desperately. So we got news from AMC movie theaters yesterday that probably should have happened a long time ago, although when I first read it, I thought, oh, that's crazy. But they're going to start charging people based on where your seat is in the movie theater, right? Proximity to the movie screen within the auditorium. So they'll get put seats in value sightline, standard sightline, and preferred sightline sections. Standard sightline seats will be the most common in auditoriums and available for the traditional cost of a movie ticket. Patrons will pay less for front row seats, and the value sightline tickets and preferred sightline seats will typically be in the middle of the auditorium and cost slightly more than standard sightline seats. I'm surprised they weren't doing this already. You know, but your first thought is, come on, that's fine. It should be first come, first serve. However, it's not first come, first serve anymore. In most of the theaters, you order and reserve your seats prior to going to the theater as it is. You know, if you show up at the door without tickets, well, then good luck, God bless. I'm kind of on AMC's side on this. However, I think this is another way for them to work out a new deal with the streaming services so that they're charging more money for the events that are top dollar, you know, number one movies, and then it would mean that the lower value movies can get to streaming sooner. That was my deal. You know, if you're not number one after the first you know, 2 or 3 weeks, you're gone to streaming. Have a nice day. Get out of here. We can still keep it at the theater, and you're able to see it for, you know, cheap. We'll let you in no matter, you know, no matter where your event price seat is. You get it in. Every ticket is, you know, $5 or $10, whatever the case is. But it's also, I can watch it on streaming for that same price. But we got that from AMC. That be ready for that. If it isn't already happening in your area when you go to the theater, it's been some time since I've been to a theater. I'm trying to remember, what did I say was the last movie that I'd seen at the theater? I think Batman. I think it was the Batman, but not, I can't remember. Because I spend money on applications to view things in my home. So the theater is not that big a deal to me. I get the whole idea of the big screen, and sometimes that does make a difference in your choice. Man, I used to love going to movies, and I do love movies, and I love, you know, television shows, and I would love to see the television shows on the movie screen. That's why we have large screen televisions in our homes, okay? You know, all of us that had the, 100 years ago, that had the little 10-inch black and whites, we don't have those anymore, okay? We have our computer screen, which are bigger than the 10-inch black and whites were back in the day, and we have our 30 to 80-inch TVs in our home. So it kind of makes sense for AMC to do that. It's not that bad of an idea. Probably something they should have been doing a long time ago. All the news also yesterday was around Yellowstone, the television show Yellowstone, and Kevin Costner, because apparently he's getting picky with his time, and the wife is nagging him. You're spending way too much time on Yellowstone. You're spending way too much time on Yellowstone. You've already got millions of dollars. Make me happy. Make me happy. Oh. It's got to be agonizing for him. I mean, maybe he loves her and he doesn't want to kick her to the curb. Kevin's already got, I don't know how many wives he's had now. How many wives has Kevin Costner had? He's only had a couple. So he's due for another one. The first one, he was married to her for a long time and then kicked her to the curb. And he was single for a while. He was playing some serious business in Hollywood during those years. And then he married this Christine Baumgartner in 2004. So he's been married to her for quite some time. So, Christine, maybe you ought to take it easy on the whining. Kick the curb, although he doesn't. I mean, he's got a lot of money that ends up giving to you. Anyway, the news is that he's fighting over how much time he's going to take to shoot Yellowstone. And they're making it, they're saying, hey, we're in talks now that we can do the show without Kevin. And Yellowstone will continue on without Kevin. And we're in talks with Matthew McConaughey to kind of take over the lead role in Yellowstone. Now, a couple things with that. I don't know that that's a good move. I don't know that I like Matthew McConaughey for that role. But, okay, so let's say they are. But I think it's bullcrap because Paramount's already issued a release saying that, hey, we're happy with Kevin and everything's fine. I mean, is that real? I don't know. Is this real? I think it's more just playing with Kevin is actually upset about having to work. Get this. So originally, he had limited himself to 65 days of shooting on Yellowstone, but he only wanted to shoot for 50 days. As part of the new current season. So they were like, sorry about that, but we've got stuff to shoot. So do I believe they're fighting over that? Absolutely. But are they moving in Matthew McConaughey? I don't think so. Is it possible? Sure. Could the Yellowstone franchise move on without Kevin Costner now? Yeah, probably. Probably could. I don't know that it needs Matthew McConaughey. I would like to maybe use the guy that plays Spencer in 1923, Brandon Sklenner. He is awesome. His character is awesome. And by the way, the latest episode of 1923, if you haven't seen it, get to it. But it's called The Ghost of Sabrina. And Spencer is on his way back to America. And I'm just saying, I'm not going to spoil it for you. This is kind of a spoiler, but not really a spoiler. I just hope that they're not thinking about killing off Spencer and Alexandra. They've turned this couple into a couple that we love on the show. And now, if they kill them off, I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to be pissed. That's all. Just saying. Taylor Sheridan, I'm going to be pissed. If you kill them off, you might lose me. You might lose me. I know you're working on your new shows, and 1923 has already been re-upped for season 2. You know, and you've got your Yellowstone, and you've got your Mayor of Kingstown. By the way, is awesome. The new season of Mayor of Kingstown with Jeremy Renner, great. Probably won't get a second, third season of that for quite some time. Jeremy's doing rehab. Tulsa King with Stallone. I have not seen Lioness, starring Zoe Saldana, is coming up. 1883, the Bass Reeves story, is going to be awesome. That story, if you don't know the Bass Reeves stories, the real life Bass Reeves, was a tremendous, tremendous story, and also was kind of the story behind the Lone Ranger. Really, that's what they claim anyway. Guy was incredible. So Taylor should probably do him great justice. The only thing I don't like about 1923, and I don't understand why they did it, I'd like to talk to Taylor about that. Taylor, email me, chewingthefatattheblaze.com, or you know, you can hit me up, DM me on Twitter, at JeffyJFR, or Instagram or Facebook, Jeff Fisher Radio. Get a hold of me, and I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to get your reasoning. I know you've got nothing else to do. You know, when you're down here at the ranch, the 4-6s, just up the road a piece from where I'm at here in DFW, just drop me a line, because I'd like to know what you were thinking using the girl's voice to narrate 1923. And she was the same voice that narrated 1883. And was the daughter. She played the daughter in 1883. But she died. That's not a spoiler alert if you have. I mean, that was the big deal in the whole 1883, which, you know, has long been over. But why are we using her voice to narrate 1923? She's dead. Really throws me off a little bit. We should have used another voice for the narrator of 1923, maybe the Indian girl, something other than her. But, you know, what do I know, Taylor? What do I know? I mean, I did say that the Grammy numbers would be not good. I told you to quote me on that. Now, apparently they had 12.4 million viewers for the Grammys on Sunday night. That's 30% more than last year, and the biggest audience the award show has gotten since 2020, which ain't saying much, but it is something to hang their hat on. So it wasn't good, but it wasn't bad either, at least for them. So they had 12.4 million viewers, which still is, you know, nothing for the Grammys in the past. However, as I said, you know, it was more than last year and their biggest audience award show since 2020, which I don't know if you know this, it's 2023. So it's only like 3 years ago. So it's still not good, but it wasn't as not good as I thought. So again, what do I know? For those of you listening live, today is the 7th of February, 2023. There was a Powerball winner. Winning tickets sold in Washington State won $754.6 million. So congratulations. We also have the President of the United States delivering the State of the Union address tonight. Man, it's going to be great to hear from him, and he's going to be telling us just how great he's done in the last year and how great the country, what great shape the country is in since he's taken office. And you can look around and see that to be 100% true. Speaking of our president, who died today? Who died today? Well, not our president, by the way, but fashion designer Paco Rabanne died at the age of 88. Now, I thought it was Rabanne, but it is, according to this, it's Rabanne. Paco Rabanne. R-A-B-A-N-N-E. I thought it was Rabanne. I know there's perfume, and he's done other outfits, and he did a bunch of plastic and metal space age outfits over the years. But Paco Rabanne, dead at the age of 88. He actually, and the reason that he has the name of Paco Rabanne, he was born Francisco Rabaneta, or Icorveo, in Spain in 1934, and he fled the country during the Spanish Civil War and took the name Paco Rabanne. So that's why he's Paco. Anyway, Paco is sadly dead at the age of 88. Also, Charles Kimbrough, Murphy Brown actor. You'd know him if you saw him. Charles Kimbrough, dead at the age of 86. He was Emmy nominated. He earned a Tony nod. He's been in a lot of shows. And again, you would know Charles if you see him. Once you see him, he was 10 seasons on Murphy Brown. And he is dead at the age of 86. Also, Drifters legend Charlie Thomas. Man, not a good day for Charles's. The Drifters legend Charlie Thomas, dead at the age of 85. He was battling liver cancer as well. But legend from the Drifters, Charlie Thomas, dead at the age of 85. So sad, rest in peace to those gentlemen. Sad day for the name Charles, though. Ooh. I know there's baby names are at risk of extinction. I mean, the baby boy names at risk of going extinct. Nobody named their kid Arjun. Walter was down a bunch of spots. Royce, Caleb, Rory, Nehemiah, Cameron with a K. Down a bunch of spots. Those boy names are on their way out. Less than 100 spots down, though. Wade, Kane, Kian, Ahmed, and Seth. Those were down in the 90 to 80 spots this year on the top names. And then, of course, we had the girl names that are at risk. Those were boy names getting ready to hit the cake. And then the names were down the most in girl names. Hayden, if you can count them girl names anymore. Oriah, Mira, Kate, Catherine, K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E, Hannah, H-A-N-A, Leah, Joy, oh no, Joy is down 112 spots, Vanessa, Alea, and Paige are all down a bunch of spots on baby names. Those names could be going extinct very, very soon. You don't have a lot of Walters anymore. Charles isn't on there, though, so sad that we lost two actual Charles. And then the most popular baby names this year, the girls were Olivia, Emma, Amelia, Ava, Sophia. Those were the top five girl names. And the top five boy names were Liam, Noah, Oliver, Elijah, and Mateo. So congratulations. Those were the top five. What are the top 10? Let's see. The girls were Isabella, Luna, Mia, or Maya. They like to say Maya. I spell Maya M-Y-A. That's what I named my daughter. But a lot of people spell Maya M-I-A. So this is eighth. So it might be Mia. But to me, it's Mia. But a lot of people believe that it's Maya. Number 9 is Charlotte. Number 10 is Evelyn. So the bottom five for the boys: Lucas, Levi, Asher, James, Leo. That's the bottom five of the top 10 of the top names for babies. Did I get that out right? The bottom five of the top 10 of the best names for babies, the most popular names for babies in 2022. So, no Charles in there either. Speaking of babies, there's a recall of infant sleepers that was issued nearly 4 years ago, and they're re-announcing the consumer product, the CPSC, Consumer Product Safety Commission. Yeah, duh. They are recalling the Fisher-Price Rock and Play and the Kids, the number 2, Rocking Sleeper. Again, the original recall was back in 2019. Over 30 fatalities were reported have occurred with that Rock and Play sleeper after infants rolled from their back to their stomach or side while unrestrained or under other circumstances. I'm not sure what those other circumstances are. And since the recall, 70 additional fatalities. Wow, over 100 babies, which includes at least 8 fatalities that were reported to have occurred after the initial recall announcement. Wow. So they're not able to, absolutely say that they were, from these products, but they're just telling people, hey, if you purchased one of these Fisher-Price Rock and Plays and the Kids Do Rocking Sleeper back in, 2009 to 2019 from Walmart, Target, and or Amazon, and, you know, paid between $40 and $150. Check it out. Make sure it's the right one and it's not the recalled ones, because there have been problems, and you don't want a problem with your babies or your grandbabies or your friends' babies. So just check it out. If you have a sleeper, make sure it's the right one. So they're recalling these. So apparently people are still using them. I don't have a problem with it. So, I mean, be careful. That's all I'm saying. Be careful. Okay, so I got an overwhelming response to the Mr. Baldwin question that I asked yesterday. Those of you that emailed me at chewingthefat@theblaze.com, thank you. It was overwhelming that the gunshot and the gun cocking should remain, and it should remain at least through the trial. So there you have it. Those are going to be the rules of the show. The trial is coming up soon. At the end of this month, it's going to begin. And so when we talk about the trial and you hear the name Alec Baldwin, you will hear that. And when I say his first name, Alec, you will hear that. One email from Jason echoed that yes, it should remain. But he also had an idea that... I said that after the trial, and he's assuming that Mr. Baldwin will be found guilty, you should play the jail cell slam whenever I say Alec Baldwin. And when I would say, this is just assuming he's found guilty, that when I say his first name, Alec, you would hear that. So, we may have to work on that. Now, I don't think he's going to be found guilty. There's no way. I mean, it's time that we just throw this thing out. All right. Alec needs to walk, and the other Dingleberry needs to be found guilty. But, so as of right now, the rules still are the rules. And so the gun cocking and the gunshot remain through the trial. Those are the rules of the show. Thank you for responding to my question at chewingthefat@theblaze.com. So the National Enquirer was sold. Speaking of Dingleberry douchebag Alec Baldwin, I wish I owned the National Enquirer. Man, that'd be fun to cover these Dingleberries. But anyway, it's been sold to a group that includes the company that founded by Theodore Farnsworth. Remember him? The movie pass ex-chairman. Yeah, you remember him in the news. So it also includes the tabloid brands The Globe and The National Examiner. Now, it said that the price wasn't released, but according to inside sources, it was a little under $100 million. Now, it's been up on the sale block for quite a while. I offered $100, and it was turned down. I don't remember offering them any money. I wish I had. I would love to own these Dingleberry. It would be so awesome to own these. So they're up and running. They're sold. A company, the parent company, A360 Media, agreed to sell the publication along with the other tabloid brands. As I said, the National Examiner and the Globe, and the National Enquirer UK. Oh, they didn't mention that one too. To VVIP Ventures, a joint venture made up of Vinco Ventures and Icon Publishing. Okay. So Vinco owns Lomotif, which is a TikTok competitor. Okay. Lomotif. I don't know that I've ever heard of that. Lomotif is a TikTok competitor. Phew. Good luck. I haven't even heard of them. So they look forward, according to Vinco Executive Chairman Rod Vanderbilt, we look forward to integrating these publications into our business and continuing their legacy of success. Do these publishing ventures have a legacy of success? Yeah, I guess they do. I mean, we were there for a long time. We talked about National Enquirer and the tabloids. I mean, I had a game show for a while on one of my shows that I was doing 100 years ago called tabloids. What was it called? It was called tabloids. Ah! I can't remember what it was called. I used the tabloids. Is it tabloid or truth? Truth or tabloid? I mean, it was similar to, you know, What's the Lie, the game show that I'm doing now. It was just, I would tell you headlines, and you had to choose whether it was tabloid or truth. Gosh darn it, I can't remember what it was called. I'll think of it. I'll let you know. I love these stupid tabloids. Anyway, so they're, you know, I don't own it. Very sad. And they are now purchased, and you can feel better about the National Enquirer because they're owned by another Dingleberry company. How happy are you now? Maybe it was truth or tabloid. I think that might have been it. I'm sorry, I can't remember. Shoot, I'll move on. I won't be able to move on for the rest of the day until I look back and try to find out the name of the stupid game show that I had. Truth or tabloid? All right, I'll stop. I'll talk about the Italian guy, the mafia guy that got arrested. Okay, it'll get me off of truth or tabloid. That wasn't it, though. Tabloid. So Edoardo Greco, 63, a fugitive of the Italian state, arrested in France and he's been wanted for 16 years. He was already handed a life sentence in prison in absentia in Italy on charges of double homicide and attempted murder during one of the mafia wars, anyway, in the early 90s. All right, he escaped from temporary police custody in 2006, and they've been looking for him ever since. Huh, okay. So they found him in a town in France, and he was running a pizza parlor. Now, if that isn't... Come on, Al. The mafia guy running a pizza parlor? Maybe he could have thought of something else to do? I don't know. But apparently, you know, he was so happy with his new pizza place that they started doing ads. He was featured in a newspaper in 2021, you know, saying, hey, this is authentic Italian cuisine. I only want to offer regional and homemade recipes. And maybe he shouldn't have done that. Maybe he should have kept himself out of the news. But he, you know, got pretty cocky. Thought he was untraceable, untouchable. And no, that was not the case. So they got this guy. Remember, not long ago, they busted the other guy that was on the run for 30 years. Remember, because he originally, they got the wrong guy in Europe. And then they finally got him. This guy, remember, they got him at a clinic. At some Three Cuts to Clown Face clinic that they finally arrested him at. And so the Interpol's Secretary General, Jürgen Stock, of course, you know, Jürgen is the Secretary General of Interpol. He said no matter how hard fugitives try to slip into a quiet life abroad, they cannot evade justice forever. Dedicated officers around the world will always ensure that justice is served. Thank you, Jürgen. Certainly didn't hurt that the Italian mafia guy decided to open up a pizza parlor in France. Just, you'd think he'd be smarter than that. But, you know, obviously, he wasn't.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.